This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We're doing a series, and we have been doing a series called That We Might Have Hope. Our text for that series has been Romans 15:4, that says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience or perseverance and the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, as I was thinking about that, I just want to remind you that these biblical accounts are not just simply nice Bible stories. These are stories that are written for our learning, and they're written to instruct us so that we can have hope. And the second thing we find in these stories is we always find things we can relate to. Now, sometimes people say, well, how can I relate to something that's that ancient and that old? The culture has changed. I understand culture has changed, but human makeup hasn't changed. We're still a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. That hasn't changed at all. And so even though some things around us, I was thinking of this when I was a kid growing up, we would take vacations in the family station wagon. And there were no minivans. And my mom would lay out like a sleeping bag in the back, and my sister and I would play back there for a while. But invariably, we would all say, Mom, I'm bored. And my mom would invariably say back to us, look out the window and enjoy the scenery. Now, I think that was just a standard parental response, because typically there wasn't great scenery going on around me. And I thought, what a horrible response. Today, I don't think any parent says that. Say, Mom, I'm bored, and Mom passes back the iPad or a phone. Or maybe they don't even have to pass back a phone because the kids have their own phone. And so, hey, you're like, Alan, things have changed. Yes, the culture's changed, but kids haven't changed. The makeup of humans haven't changed. And so as we read these stories, don't flip the switch in your mind that says, oh, that's just a Bible story. That's an ancient story. There are things in these stories that we can relate to, and they're written for our learning, and they're written so we could have hope. In other words, we read these stories and we go, oh, Lord, this is great. I can relate to this, because these are real people dealing with real situations. We're going to talk about someone tonight who dealt with a crisis situation and how he handled it. And in fact, I'm entitling this message, Sourcing Strength. How do we source strength, especially in a difficult time? Is that even possible? Is that feasible? Is that only available for some people? The answer to that is no, because these stories are written to teach us so we can look at them and learn. So let's pray again just real quickly. And all we're doing when we pray this time is we're opening up our hearts, saying, Father, help us here. Heavenly Father, we ask you for your help and grace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Enables me to speak your word with boldness, with accuracy, with clarity, and open our hearts, Father, that we might hear and receive and learn and see, that our lives might be different, that you might be glorified. We open our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to go to a story that I have gone to frequently in the Scriptures. It is one of my favorites, through one of my favorite characters. One of my favorite Old Testament characters is quite popular. When I say David, most people know David. Even if you only know David and Goliath, most people know David. He was a warrior. He was a poet. He was a great leader. He was a worshiper of God. Just a very fascinating man. Very complex man. But he was a man we can learn some things from. He was in that stage of his life where he is running from King Saul. The Lord had anointed David. He designated David was going to be the next king of Israel. Saul was still the king. Saul was jealous of David. Saul tried to take David out, tried to kill him. And so David was a fugitive, and he had about 400 men that went with him that had joined him. And so they had to kind of move around in a roving band. And at this time in their lives, they're living in a town called Ziklag, which just sounds like probably the last place you want to be, but it was their town. It was where they were living. In effect, it was an enemy territory, but David had to escape from Saul. And while they were doing a project, or they were actually getting ready to go to war for Saul, some Amalekites, there's a roving band of Amalekites, some of the enemies of Israel, the enemies of that area, so a very, very war-torn area, the Amalekites came in and really wreaked havoc. So now we find David in a crisis situation. 1 Samuel 30, let's see it here. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, burned it with fire, and had taken captive the men, the women, and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I want to take a look at this tonight as we look at David at the Ziklag crisis. You could easily call this a crisis. Whole city had been attacked. Everyone had been kidnapped. And the whole city was burned and all their stuff was gone. So this was a problem. It was unfortunate. But unfortunately, problems are a part of life. Here was David, who was special. He was anointed of God. And he constantly had to deal with problems. So he's dealing with the problem. It really was just more of a function of where he was living and the environment that he was living in that time. It was kind of an every man for himself, and there were warring tribes and warring factions, and so he was living in a pretty violent type of environment. And so that's just his scenario. He had a great amount of personal pain that was involved in this situation. Now, again, we read these Bible stories, and it's so easy just to read them and say, yeah, and the city was burned with fire, and whoa, can you imagine? If you went home and your house was burned to the ground, some of you have experienced that. It's horrible. I've talked to people who say it's one of the worst things they could ever feel, because you can't get it back. But not only is it burned to the ground, but someone kidnapped your entire family. I mean, a bad group of people. This was not a civic organization. This was a bad group of people that just kidnapped your family and went off with them. So you can begin to imagine the pain they were going through. Their families are kidnapped. Now, they didn't kill anybody. But how many of you know that if your family has been kidnapped, your mind is going to start looping like crazy over what's happening to your wives and your daughters, your sons? How are they being treated? Are they being attacked? Are they being violated? I mean, that's just people that kidnap, that's their property. That's a horrible thought. All your stuff is gone. It's not like you had a few accounts at other banks that you could go get your stuff. Usually you carried your stuff with you. The stuff was there in the house. It's all gone, and it's burned with fire. So here's a problem that had some serious repercussions. It had a lot of personal pain with it. And David and his men really hit a place that I would consider a low place. They gave a very human response. They wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been there where you hear people say, I just cried till I just cried myself out? Well, they just cried themselves out. And even David, who was a warrior, who was a fighter, who was a pretty fearless individual, wept until he couldn't weep anymore. That's a hard situation. And so then the situation got worse for David. And this is what I want you to hear. Not only has he lost his family, he's lost his stuff. They burned his house. He's concerned for all his men. But then the situation worsened because the people, his own men, spoke of killing him. Now, stoning him, for those of you not familiar with that, is where they would just pick up rocks and hit you with rocks until you died. Has a whole nother connotation. If you were a teenager or young person in the 70s or 80s, it's not like that. This is bad. And they would stone you with rocks and you would die. So they're talking of stoning David. And it said they were grieved and their hearts were bitter. There's a tendency when people are bitter to lash out. When people are hurting, to lash out and hurt other people. And this is where these men were. So these are David's own men. And the scripture said that David was greatly distressed. And that word distressed means cramped, restricted, in a state of fear and anxiety. In other words, we would say pressure. If you've ever been in a really tight place, you can sense pressure. And this is where David, maybe you're in a place right now where you sense, I'm pressured. The finances are tight, or the family situation is strained and it's tight. It's cramped. It's restricted. And said David was greatly distressed, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, because now his own men are thinking of stoning him. So he's got nowhere to go, it appears. And it's a sad state that they're thinking of stoning him. But honestly, guys, that is a very human tendency, that when we get upset, we want to find somebody to blame. We want to blame people around us. We want to lash out at people. That's what happens. And even though it's a human tendency, it certainly isn't a godly trait. But David, his response, I think, to these people is wonderful. Because, one, he does not lash back at them. He doesn't go after them. He doesn't try to defend himself. He doesn't try to justify himself. In fact, we don't get any indication that David did anything to these guys. But David did something else. And this is what David did was key. As it worsened for David, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, I want to read some of these words to you, because the word strengthened, we might think of strengthened differently, but the word means to grow firm, to grow strong, to be courageous. I like this one, to overpower. He certainly had to overpower his emotions and his thoughts in that area. Could you imagine how the thoughts are just running through your mind? What about my wife? What about my kids? What about my stuff? What about these people? Now they're trying to kill me. Can you imagine just the thoughts and the pressure that David is under? And said, yet, he said he was able to strengthen himself in the Lord. In other words, to get stronger than those thoughts coming against him, to overpower those thoughts, to overpower those emotions that are coming against him. That's genuine strength. Listen, strong doesn't mean problems go away. Strong simply means that you have the ability to overcome or overpower the ones that do come our way. So David was, he said he strengthened himself. He got strong in the Lord. Now, I want to talk a little bit about that, because we're talking about sourcing strength. How in the world did he do that? Well, as I was going through, I can't find no direct reference made to Ziklag. But the Psalms give us an idea. The first thing we have to understand is David had a relationship with the Lord. This is key. David had a relationship with the Lord. David, probably when he was a young boy watching sheep, and as a young preteen, maybe teenager, David would just worship and sit out there, and he evidently began to commune with the Lord and have a fellowship with the Lord, and that's vital. And then we see a similar crisis situation, and it yields a picture of what David did. Now, I'm going to fast forward a little bit. David had another crisis. I said the guy had problems. I mean, he was a king. He was anointed. He was awesome. He had problems. And he had a son named Absalom. Son was real handsome, real cocky, tried to take over the kingdom. I'm giving you the cliff notes. Tried to take over the kingdom and basically orchestrated a coup against David. And as he did, David had to, he had to flee. He actually had to leave his palace and run for his life with some of his friends and some of his associates and some of the men that were still with him. That was a horrible situation. I mean, he really is running for his life. But I want you to hear this psalm, because you can hear something in here that may give us an idea, a pattern of what David did in the middle of that pressure situation to strengthen himself in the Lord. And here's the good news. If David could strengthen himself, we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Remember, these things are written for our learning. Psalms 3. Let's take a look at this. It says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Can you hear, in the middle of a difficult situation? So here are some things that I saw that he's doing here. Lord, here's the problem. And here's what people are saying. He wasn't in denial. Lord, I got a lot of, he said, I got many that are troubling me. He said, many have risen up against me. He was referring to Absalom and a whole army that had risen up against him. And he said, and you know what people are saying? People are saying that God can't even help me in this situation, that David's day is over and God is not going to help David. And I love what he says next. He says, but he said, Lord, you are a shield for me. You are my glory and you are the one who lifts my head. So David said, here's the problem. He said, Lord, here's the problem. It's legit. It's a problem. He said, but I got you. And you are a shield for me. You're my glory. In other words, you're the one that surrounds me with your goodness. And you're the one who lifts up my head. Man, I love that song. And then he doesn't stop there. And he began to talk about that you hear me. I cried to the Lord with my voice and he heard me. He didn't say I cried and I felt like my prayers got nowhere. He said, I cried and the Lord heard me. He said, I lay down and slept and I awoke for the Lord sustained me. So the Lord hears my prayers. The Lord helps me when I sleep. And he said, I'm going to be afraid of 10,000s of people who surround me, you know, who set themselves against me all around. What's David doing? He's talking to the Lord about the problem. He said, Lord, I got a problem. And people are saying, I'm not going to make it. But then he shifts out of the problem and moves over and begins to say, but you're a strength for me. But you're the one who lifts my head. But you're the one who helps me. When I lay down and sleep, you are the one who helps me sleep. I'm gonna sleep and I'm going to get up, for you will sustain me and protect me. Even when I'm sleeping, I cried to you and you heard me from your holy hill. Not only can you hear, you can do something about it. And I'm not even going to be afraid if 10,000s of people set themselves against me. Man, that's a powerful thing. What is David doing? He's telling the Lord what the problem is, but then he goes over and begins to magnify God in what God can do. So in that Ziklag situation, I don't know the exact psalm, but I know that if you read the Psalms, you read the pattern, and you see the pattern that David establishes. He may talk about the problem, but immediately he'll go over to God. You're bigger than the problem. You are my glory. You're my shield. You're my protector. You're my helper. You are, magnify the Lord with me. So somewhere David got alone and he got together with God and he pulled on his relationship with the Lord and who the Lord was to him. And that strengthened him, made him courageous, enabled him to stand firm, to overpower the pressure that was coming against him. I love that story. David strengthened himself in the Lord. You know, sometimes we get in places in life where there's nobody else to strengthen us. And we need to be able just to simply go to the Lord ourselves. Sometimes there's, man, you can call people up. No one takes your call. You get voicemail. You try to reach church, they're closed. And you realize, what am I going to do? Thank God. You can go to God. And you can learn to strengthen yourself in the Lord. So let's just talk quickly about what we can learn from David, and what we can learn from his story. One thing we can learn is problems are an unfortunate part of our lives. But Jesus told us this was going to happen. John 16:33 said, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, you have trouble. He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Even speaking specifically about this virus situation, people are like, what's happening? What's going on? What's taking place here? I think the thing we want to keep in mind is in Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus, the disciples went to Jesus and they asked him, what are going to be the signs of your coming in the end of the age? And Jesus gave them some things that are going to be happening. These are signs. They point to the end of the age. One of those was pestilences. There will be wars, rumors of wars. Nation will rise up. There'll be earthquakes, pestilence. That's what a virus is. It's a pestilence. It ends not yet, but it's a sign that it's coming. So he said, Alan, do you think Jesus is coming back next week? No, I don't. But I do think that these signs are pointing to the fact that we're reaching an end of an age. And I've heard this from other ministers. So we all kind of sense, ooh, this is a sign things are taking place. So it's unfortunate, but they're a part of life. Number two, no one can deny that loss and pressure can put us in a very low place. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and then it said, and weep with those who weep. Notice it didn't say rebuke those who weep. It says weep with those who weep. There are times in life, and I think sometimes people thought, well, if you're really a strong Christian, you never weep. I don't agree with that. I think there are times when things hit us and it affects us and we weep. I believe there's times that things happen to the people that we love and we weep. And so we weep and there are times when you come around and people are hurting. And so you weep with them. You're compassionate. We don't rebuke them. If someone's having a hard time, we weep with them. But the objective is that we don't stay there. That's the key. Is we may have weeping. I think the psalmist said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So the objective is we don't want to stay just in a state of continual weeping. We want to be able to source strength and get strength from God so that we're able to begin to overpower the pressure and the things that are coming our way. So let's talk a little bit about that. What can we do? Don't forget this, since we're all living on close quarters, especially if you're hurting right now, pressure's on, things have happened. Do your best not to lash out at other people. You may be hurting, but taking it out on somebody else is not going to help them. It's not going to solve the problem. In fact, it doesn't move you any closer to the solution. And in all honesty, it makes things worse. So lashing out is not a good option. We don't want to stay in a low place. We want to source strength. So if David encouraged himself in the Lord, we can too. So if David can do that, we can do that. Take the problem to the Lord. Not in denial. We're not denying the existence of the problem. We're saying, yes, there is a problem, but we actually take that to the Lord. And we're saying, Lord, we need your help with this. Begin to establish and declare in our own life who God is to us. Now, this is a biggie right here. David, by the time Ziklag had happened, and this is some overwhelming pressure, but David had already begun to establish in his life who God was to him. So this is the time when our words matter about what we say about God. Now, this may be very different from how you grew up. I know people have grown up, well, you know, Alan, I really don't like to express anything to God or anything about God. That's very private. Let's think about it a little bit differently. If God is the biggest thing in the universe, and if God is the biggest thing in our life, then we need to be able to express some things to Him and about Him. Listen, we express stuff all the time. I know some of you who have pets. I have a pet. You ever wind up talking to your dog? I bet you have. I bet you said things like, there you are. Oh, you're such a precious little thing, aren't you? Oh, you're so cute. Who's daddy's dog? You're talking to your dog who cannot understand you and is not going to talk back. But yet we do it. There's an affection there. And so we talk to our dogs. We talk to things that in our life. You talk to your car. Are you going to start today? Because if you're not going to start, I'm going to sell you for junk. We talk to different things in our lives. We talk to people on the road. I've done that. You've done that. People get in your lane. They can't hear you, but you're talking to them. Please speed up. Please move faster. Your driving is horrendous. Of course, we might say more colorful things than that, but we're talking. Why can't we talk to our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who made the heavens and the earth? Why can't we talk to Him and begin to say, God, you're big in my life. You're good in my life. And I was thinking about this morning, and here comes another psalm. So I'm gonna read this one to you. It came, but I thought, boy, this is appropriate. There's some things I can say about God. You're my helper. You're my healer. You're my source and my supply. You're my strength and my provider. You're my well that won't run dry. You know, there's some things we can say about the Lord, and just in your own private time, but these are the times. Proverbs 18:21 said that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. These are the times we just say, God, you're bigger than this problem. You're bigger than the pressure I'm feeling. You're bigger. You're my helper. Lord, you're my sustainer. You're the one. Now listen, when you first start that, it may sound awkward. It may sound like, wow, this sounds foreign, but like anything else that we learn that's new, it may start off a little bit awkward, but if you'll continue it, it'll develop a flow in your life. And as you can begin to say, Lord, I got a problem, but you're my source and you're my supply, and I'm tapped into your economy, and Lord, you're good, and you're good to me. You're good to my family. You're good. What are you saying about God? Many of you are saying, Lord, thank you that you're my Savior. We become very comfortable saying, Jesus, thank you that you're my Savior. Years ago, when Joy is so deathly sick, Joy and I begin to declare and believe that Jesus is our healer. We've seen times where we've needed help. Jesus, God, you're our provider. So there are things that you're our strengthener, you're our comforter, you're our Father. Man, there's so many good things we can say, but these are the times when we begin to express our heart to God. And as you do that, you're expressing who He is to you. And listen, if you need a jump start, don't worry. Go to the Psalms. It's got a whole book of jump starts right there. A lot of times I'll get up in the morning, my first thoughts aren't always real clarified yet. But just a lot of times, right immediately out of me comes this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear but and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord in me, and let us exalt His name together. That's a psalm. That's Psalms 34. And so sometimes when I need a jump start, man, I'll go directly to the Psalms. And you can read them, and you can read them out loud, and you can take them and you can personalize them. Say, well, what's all that going to do? I tell you what it'll do. It will strengthen you, because these words of life and words of health and words of strength, and I promise you, it will bless you more than the news. The news is not going to strengthen you. The news will take strength out of you. All the negative media stuff will take it'll take strength out of you. You begin to honestly worship God and thank Him and express this to Him. It will put strength in you. That's one of the beautiful things about singing worship songs. We're declaring who God is and who we are to Him. That's one of the reasons it's so uplifting, is we're singing and expressing our hearts and we're strengthening ourselves in the Lord. You need to put on worship music. That's a great idea. Put that on. Something that's edifying and uplifting. And as you do that, you're going to find yourself strengthened. So what do we say about and declare about in our own life who God is to us? What do we have to say about our prayers? And here's another one, and our sleep. Man, I begin to say that, Lord, you give your beloved sweet sleep. It's Proverbs 3. I say that the Lord hears my prayer. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's James 5. What am I doing? I don't want to say, I don't know if God hears me. I feel like my prayers bounce off the ceiling. I don't want to say that. I'm going to agree with David. I cried to the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So let's say good things about our prayers. And then we can make a declaration that we're simply not going to live in fear. Fear, pressure, anxiety, it begins to come. Thank God 2 Timothy 1:7 said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. These are some of the things that we can do in our lives that will strengthen us, that will strengthen us in the Lord, that will encourage us in the Lord. A lot of pressure today, a lot of anxieties, a lot of uncertainty about the days ahead. Maybe this is a good time to declare, Lord, you're my strength, you're my song, you're my salvation. I'm trusting in you. And as you begin to do that, yeah, it may feel awkward at first, but go ahead and give it a shot. It will help you. It will strengthen you. These are words of life. When you speak over your family, when you speak over your situation, your economic situation, don't speak death. Speak life. Lord's helping us. We're going to come through this. We're going to come out of this stronger. The Lord is helping us as a family. We're going to come through this. Guys, we're going to be all right. These words are words that help. These are words that strengthen. These are words that help us source strength in the days to come. Thank God he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have good days ahead. You want to bow your head and let me pray for you? Heavenly Father, thank you for all those listening tonight. I thank you for your love for them. I thank you for your desire to strengthen and encourage every single one of them. Father, thank you. Hopefully my words did, but Father, regardless, your words always will. And so I thank you, Father, for strengthening us during this time as your people that were able to overpower the anxiety, the uncertainty, and the emotions that are out there running wild. Thank you for your help in this. Lord, we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name. Now I'm going to say one more prayer. If you're here tonight watching on, that's almost a habit, isn't it? If you're watching online, and maybe you're recognizing in your own heart, I've gotten away from God. Or maybe you recognize this by finding us on a Wednesday night. You don't even have a relationship with the Lord, but you would like to. Man, what a good time to establish a relationship that can make a difference now and make a difference a year from now and throughout eternity. It'd be a great time for that. So if you'd like to be sure in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, or maybe you recognize that you need to come back to Him, I'm going to say a prayer. And after I say this prayer, or maybe even before, if you want to click one of those little boxes that says, yes, I made a decision, that action is good for you. I did make that decision. I did make a decision for the Lord. And so if you'll do that, pray this prayer with me. And I'm going to lead you in it. And then you can pray it. You can pray it out loud so you can hear yourself if you're in a place where you can do that. And then click the box or you can text in to us, 313131. And we'll even get some information back to you. But bow your head and let's pray this prayer together. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. For those who've come into the kingdom for the very first time, who stepped out of darkness into your marvelous light, and for those who've come back, come home again. Father, we rejoice with them. We're grateful. And what you're doing in their lives, what you're doing, the work that you've started in them now, you will complete it. Lord, we give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.